everyone. Welcome to You Belong in AI. This podcast is made possible by UCLA ACM AI Outreach. My name is Arjun Subramanian, and today my co-hosts are Maya Raman and Nisha McNeilis. Furthermore, we'll be interviewing Shweta Kushu. Shweta works at a startup called SkySpecs based in Ann Arbor. She started off as a computer vision and machine learning engineer and has taken up the responsibilities of the engineering growth lead for the AI team recently. She started at SkySpecs as their 11th or 12th hire at the time. She has watched the company grow into almost 80 full-time employees and several contractors and close to two successful rounds of funding. Outside of AI, Shweta trains in Hindustani classical singing, enjoys soccer and baking, is a self-described cat person, and watches a lot of international films. Hi, Shweta. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Arjun. Thanks for having me here.
So just to start off, we'd like to learn a little bit about your background. Could you tell us about what inspired you to pursue AI, ML, or data science? And did you major in CS statistics or some kind of related field in university?
Yeah, so actually, my dad is an electronics engineer. And growing up, I used to enjoy watching him work on circuits, and he would open up the television or the VCR and then start to tampering with all the electronics in there. And I would just enjoy being his assistant. And I think with this predilection, I pursued an undergraduate degree in electronics engineering and started off with a focus in embedded systems and circuit designing. And I did enjoy building circuits, and I used to do it as a part of this robotics society that I was part of during my undergrad, and it was fun. However, along the way, I was inspired by the zealous professor in my undergrad university, and he taught signal processing and image processing, and he made the subject so much fun that a lot of us just fell in love with the subject. I did this another research project with another professor, and that involved neural networks, and that was the first time I was introduced to machine learning, and I fell in love with it. We got like a research paper out of it, and then because of these things, in my final undergraduate year, I decided to pursue a master's degree in the field of machine learning, and then I started my graduate studies at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, in the fall that year, and that is how I got into it.
It's so great to hear. I think we can all relate to having these like amazing professors that really inspire us to learn more about the field. I know that, you know, Maya and Nisha, we've all had like really great professors at UCLA who've really encouraged us to go outside the content of the class, really explore on our own, and just make the subject matter so engaging that it never feels like a pain to be in the classroom. It feels like you always want to go there yourself. So when you were a student, did your university CS community suffer from a lack of representation of diverse backgrounds or experiences? And if applicable, in what ways was it challenging to be a woman in CS?
That's an interesting question. So I did my undergraduate at a university in India. And if I remember correctly, I was in the electronics engineering class, so we did have a decent representation of girls in our class, but some of the other fields, like maybe like mechanical and civil engineering, they did not, they probably lacked a representation of girls. And the funny, strange thing is that even though our classrooms had an equal distribution, there was a skew in the distribution of women in the core team of some of the technical societies, like the robotics societies or Baja society. And I think one of the reasons that was the case back in India was because it wasn't considered safe or appropriate for a girl to stay back in the college premises in the wee hours of the night to work on some of these student projects. So which means a lot of the girls did not take a lot of initiative in joining as a core team, a member of those teams. So unfortunately, even though the presentation was there in the classes, the societies did not translate into some of the technical clubs and societies. And in grad school, and I've noticed this, is in grad school, there was definitely a little more gap in the number of men versus women in classrooms. So even though in undergrad students, I saw a better distribution, as you went up in grad schools, and I'm guessing probably even for the doctorate studies, you'd see less women and more men, especially in technology.
Yeah, it's really terrible to hear that the gap increases when you go to like an advanced degree. Our previous interviewee, Jennifer, she was talking about that same effect too, that she noticed when she was an undergraduate, even though the distribution wasn't great, her being from Canada, like the distribution wasn't great between like women and men in her STEM classes. that this gap just seemed to increase even more in her graduate classes. Like she said that in her 40-person graduate class, 6 people would be women, and then 34 people would be male, which is, you know, significant disparity. And I also am so sad to hear that it's not considered appropriate for girls to stay back on college campuses. I know that in India, there's a lot of issues with safety too, when girls have to come back at night, which is so terrible. I really wish that, because obviously girls are just as engaged in the material in class as men are. I just wish that women would be as represented in these student organizations. So speaking to that, why do you think representation is important, especially in CS and AI, especially at the university level?
So I'm going to speak more generally, because this applies, I think, not just to CS, AI, but technology in general. And it translates to every field in technology. And there's a lot of research on the subject of how diversity benefits in the workplace. And some of the key benefits of that are you have increasing innovation, which means that when you have people of different kinds and from different backgrounds come together, you're bringing a lot of different perspectives and creativity to the table. There is so much more to learn from other individuals, as they're likely to have experiences and talents that are different from yours. This kind of community is more likely to come up with an out-of-box solution and innovative ideas. So that is the one aspect of it. You're increasing innovation by having diversity at the workplace. And then another, especially this definitely applies to workplaces, that when you have diversity in your workplace, you're relatable to a diverse client base. Because unless you're like a very local business, your clients and customers are going to come from a diverse pool of people, and having diversity in your office helps bring more insight and understanding for interacting with this diverse client base. And the third reason of why diversity is important is because you want to attract clients, because you want to attract talent, and diversity attracts diversity. A company which is diverse is perceived as more progressive, equal, and global, and is likely to attract talent from all over. I mean, as a woman, if I'm interviewing at a place where mainly I see male employees, I'm gonna feel a little hesitant, versus if I see all kind of a diverse set of people in a workplace, I would be more willing to come and become a part of this team. So that is another reason. So for all of these reasons, it's, at least in the workplace, it's important to have diversity. And there's a lot of research that is done back. I'm just talking subjectively. There's a lot of research that is done backing these points. And if you want to see diversity at the workplace, it has to start at the college level. And it has to go back, it has to backtrace itself, right? Unless you have diversity in the college, you're not going to see diversity in your workplace. So which is why it's important to have diversity at the university level, and it applies to every field, computer science, AI, or any field in technology or otherwise.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Like, it definitely matters so much that we have a representative workforce, because obviously we are serving everyone, like you said. So we need to make sure that everyone, that your product works equitably for everyone, like everyone is being served in a fair way. And it definitely goes back to the college level too. Like, I think our mission statement at being part of ACMA Outreach is to reach youth as early as possible and really inspire their passion for computing, AI, whatever field it may be, before all these other barriers set in and the disparities start to grow. Do you think representation has improved at all in computer science or AI over the past couple of decades?
As for representation, it's actually strange. If you look at the trend, computer science and programming, once upon a time, used to be a women-dominated field. Women's ratio has actually declined over the past, I would say, probably 3 to 4 decades. I was a little surprised when I read this at first, since it seemed counterintuitive to me. An explanation to this is that back in the 80s, when commercial computers became more popular, they were advertised as toys for boys, and eventually programmers started becoming more stereotyped as these geeky boys in popular media. And computer science became a more uncool profession for girls thanks to this popular media. And another reason for this could be the bias in the environment that boys and girls are exposed to. Boys are likely, at like a very young age, they're likely to be gifted cars, engineering sets, Legos that require critical thinking and hands-on building, while girls at that time were likely to be gifted dolls and pink cooking sets. The toys were being marketed with a gender bias, and that became successful in cultivating that bias back in like the 80s and the 90s. So we saw a decline in the representation of women in the programming, in the computer science space. But in over the last decade, I think from whatever I've read and seen, over the last decade, this has improved slightly because there's more awareness now. And we are taking steps to make those changes to, as you said, reduce the bias at the lowest level possible so that this discrepancy is further narrowed down as you grow up. So it has started improving in the past decade, but clearly it's nowhere close to being 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is even noticeable within UCLA. Like our engineering department, fortunately, thanks to our wonderful Dean of Engineering, Jayati Murthy, she's very proactive about trying to increase the representation of women in general and the undergraduate student population. And despite, you know, a lot of efforts, I think the percentage that it has grown, like we have, I think about a quarter female representation in the engineering department, but it still could be better. Like we really need to get to a point where we have about 50-50, like you said. That would be ideal. That'd be so awesome. And another thing that I wanted to say in response to that was, if you watched our first podcast episode when we interviewed Professor Kerry Nachtenberg, he actually talked about how when he was a student at UCLA in the 90s, there was actually more women in computer science than there is now. And so I guess like that effect that you were talking about, young girls growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, who were being like not encouraged as much as boys were to go into computing, that effect led to some serious implications later down the road. And then I guess the proportion of women in the engineering department at UCLA definitely declined after that. Just because of this decline in female representation over the past few decades, and I guess now you're saying that there is a slight increase in the representation of women, do you think it's any easier to be a woman in the field? Like, is it comfortable working in Sky Specs? Do you think it's comfortable in general to be a woman studying CS at a university?
So it's difficult for me to answer because I don't have a lot of reference from the past. I've been working in this field for the last, I've been working with Sky Specs for the last 4 years, and I've been studying for a few years before that. I do believe that equality and discrimination is now taken a little more seriously in workplaces. Women empowerment has also gained serious traction in society. So I'd say it is easier, but there's still like a long way to go. I have frequent great conversations with my female colleagues at work, and one of them very aptly pointed out that if you just look at the numbers, there's still a great deal of inequality when it comes to equal pay for equal jobs, female representation, executive leadership roles, and even the rate of promotion among males and females. So while it might be a little easier than it was before, we still have a long way to go. Moreover, women still tend to have more household responsibilities towards kids and families, and they have a more challenging job of managing the dual responsibilities of work and home. So yeah, it's easier, but not easy enough yet.
Yeah, especially with, you know, I think especially software engineering and engineering of any kind, that can be a very demanding profession. I know that sometimes because of the amount of technology involved in your work, how much you use a computer, people almost expect you to be constantly available for meetings, for getting your work done at home, like remotely, and even when you're not at work. So it can definitely make it extremely hard to juggle your family and work. I mean, and as you said, that's especially true for women. In terms of, I guess, like representation then of women and being more inclusive of everyone in the workplace, what improvements would you want to see? And like, how do you think we could go about executing these improvements?
So if you're specifically talking about gender equality, then I would say that adoption has to start at a really early stage in the life of a child. Toys, television shows, movies, families have to start promoting gender equality and avoid stereotypes. I mean, boys can wear pink and girls can play with robots if they like, right? And I know that there are a lot of independent movements happening across the world to help bring about this change. Like, I know there's the Girls Who Code movement that are bringing coding principles to middle and high school girls. And that's a good start, like stuff like that. And maybe we could have more such initiatives at the school level. I was talking to my CEO, Danny Ellis, and he told me that there is a research done of X amount of money being spent at the university level for having more inclusion. So there's an X amount of money that was spent at the university level to increase inclusion and diversity. And there was the same X amount of money spent at the school level for promoting inclusion. And after a few years, they saw that the effects of spending the money at the school level had far-reaching effects than at the university level. And that shows you starting early is going to benefit you much more than trying to correct this at the later in the workplace or at the university. As I said, just after starting early is what we should be doing. And but then talking about the workplace, it's important for the companies to weave the inclusion efforts into their hiring culture, keeping in mind that it is higher to find minority talent in a general application pool. So start early, and for companies, you just have to be very mindful of trying to get this talent from the diverse pool.
Yeah, again, we had this discussion a little bit earlier, but it's just so important to reach out at a younger age. I think we were having a conversation with Jennifer earlier too about how when you enter college, and if you haven't been exposed to programming or any other kind of computing, a weeder class, like as your introductory CS class, is not the best way to learn how to program. It can just be super stressful. It can make you feel not supported. It can really push you away from your class. It feels like everything in college is so much more consequential. So you might feel that doing computing is not for you, and then you just stick with your major and you completely diverge from touching computer science ever again. Whereas we've noticed when you go out to the schools as part of like our outreach organization to help students learn about AI or to teach them Python or programming, that they're just so much more receptive to just playing around with everything that they're learning. They feel like there are no consequences to learning, and no one feels like they're unsupported because we're always there to answer the questions. And we've noticed that a lot of kids after that have said that they really want to pursue some kind of STEM field in college.
Right. And just to add to that, I mean, there's a quote that goes like, children are like wet cement, whatever falls on them makes an impression. So it's easy to mold them at that age than if somebody has already been molded with these impressions and with these stereotypes. It's not going to change once they've grown up. You have to start early.
Yeah, that's a really great quote.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to transition a little bit. Just wanted to ask about what you've been doing since you graduated from university. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about SkySpecs. It would be also great if you could simultaneously discuss how easy or hard it's been to be a woman in the workplace.
So I graduated with a Master of Science in ECE degree and a major in machine learning and image processing from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor in December 2015. And I've been working at SkySpecs ever since. So I've been here for more than 4 years now. And on the topic of how easy and hard it is to be a woman in the workplace, I would say I'm a little lucky because I'm working with a bunch of very smart individuals here at SkySpecs who have always treated me as a fellow engineer and not differently because of my gender.
So I was just wondering, you can just talk about what projects you've been working on at SkySpecs, what you found particularly interesting while you're growing your career after your degree. What is the culture of the workplace at SkySpecs like?
Okay, so the best part about working for SkySpecs is that is like working with SkySpecs. The culture here really values people, humility, and encourages flow of knowledge and ideas. And everyone is really approachable in the company, including the upper management, and creativity and diversity is very much valued. So, which is why it makes it it's a very enjoyable environment to work in. And my favorite part about working here professionally is that I get to do what I love in a field that I respect, because SkySpecs envisions helping make green energy ubiquitous, and just that knowledge makes working very rewarding there. And I believe that you should work in a place where you feel valued and where the work done is providing value to the world. And SkySpecs is just one such place. We do drone inspections, autonomous drone inspections for utility in the energy utility industry, such as the wind energy. So here at SkySpecs, we started off as an autonomous drone inspection service company, where we would, and our customers are wind turbine farm owners or OEMs. We go on the field and we inspect their wind turbine with their autonomous drones, and we collect the data for them. And then we have kind of migrated into a holistic solutions provider for the wind and energy industry. We collect the data. We have a platform called Horizon where the customers can log in and look at their, manage their wind fleet farm, look at the health of their turbines, make repairs, and plan for the future of their farms on one platform. So we are like this one, we are in the process of becoming this one stop for all of the wind farm requirements. So I work with the robotics and the AI team there, and I work on the drone side of things and also on the data side of things. Capturing images from making the drone autonomous is a very challenging problem, and our drone is completely autonomous. All you have to do is click the button, it goes up, maps the environment, and goes around and takes pictures all around the wind turbine and comes and lands all on its own with very little input from the pilot. Actually, no input from the pilot unless required. And I work on the vision side of things there, and also with all the data that we collect from the drone. There's a lot of interesting machine learning and computer vision applications that you could, algorithms that you could apply to the data to make it, to get more information out of it from the customer, for the customers. And so I work on, so the AI team in SkySpix is kind of working on that right now.
That's great. That's so cool to hear. Like, again, I just think it's awesome when there are applications of AI out there that are not related to ad revenue or any of these other like very traditional uses that are very profit driven. Like, this is such an awesome use of AI to really benefit the clean energy industry.
Exactly. And this is, which is why it's very rewarding for us to work there. So it's a very happy place to be.
So I was wondering what drew you to that company? Like, what really inspired you to work there? What values do you have that aligned with their mission?
So what I drew initially to the what drew me initially to the company was really the people that I interviewed with. A very bright set of mind and very hungry for knowledge, but at the same time, really humble set of people. As I said, even the upper management is very approachable and always looking for creative ideas. That and their mission is well aligned with my mission of personally a clean and green future for the planet. And they are, as you said, they're not the traditional profit-driven mindset. They really want to make a difference, and everything they do in the company is for that. And the people are really valued and respected, and so because of all of that, and you could see that even in the initial interviews, I could see that emitting from everyone who was working there. So that is what really drew me to SkySpix.
That's really awesome. So now I'm going to transfer the hosting to Maya, and she'll start with the next question.
Yeah, so AI is like a rapidly changing field, and it seems like there's always something new to learn. So can you talk a little bit about, first of all, what interests you about AI? And also, when you encounter a new topic, how do you go about learning it and getting involved with it?
That's a really good question. What interested me about AI initially is just that it's such a powerful tool that you can apply to almost any industry and do some almost quote-unquote magical analysis through it, right? And as you said, that the research in this field is advancing at a very fast pace. When I was in graduate school, deep learning was just gaining traction, and now it is widely popular and adopted. Like, almost everyone who is in school these days has heard about at least neural network, machine learning, deep learning. That was not the case even like 10 years back. So it's a really fast growing industry. So I keep encountering topics that I need to learn more about constantly, either for implementation at work or just for my self-enrichment. And one way that I would say that I use to stay abreast with new developments is to subscribe to reputed newsletters and mailing lists. I'm subscribed to quite a few AI-focused ones that keep me updated. And once I have found a topic that interests me, I would just read more on it, read research papers, blog articles, and even take online courses. We are lucky that we live in a world where knowledge is very easily accessible through internet, and we should take full advantage of that. I have applied concepts that I've learned in some of these online courses and specializations post my graduate studies at my work on several occasions. So I would say the most easier, the things that I do for making sure that I'm abreast in the industry and I'm able to navigate and pick up important concepts is subscribe to newsletters, take advantage of the fact that there's so many courses online available today, so much material available today to implement, and just keep reading and trying and keep improving your knowledge through those mediums.
Yeah, that's really good, because it's always like, for me, it's kind of difficult to pick up new information. So yeah, that's really cool. So now I'm going to pass it off to our next host, Nisha.
Hi, so you had a lot of really great insights about the importance of diversity and how representation benefits the workplace. Could you speak once again to the importance of representation and what someone can do in an environment that lacks representation? For example, what a female computer scientist or engineer can do to find a community in a male-dominated environment?
Yeah, so it's hard. I mean, but I would say, well, one, try not to feel like you are a minority. Try and make sure that, well, one, that you don't feel it and that nobody else around you is making you feel that you're a minority there. And also, there are a lot of groups. Find maybe local meetup groups or local clubs that are, like, let's say, for example, if you're a woman in AI and you don't have as much representation of your kind in your workplace, try and find groups in your locality, in your city that are, like, maybe there are women in AI groups, women machine learning groups. Try and connect through other women engineers through those groups, and maybe you can gain and learn from them.
Yeah, I think that's huge, just finding other people who are in the same boat so that you don't feel alone. Yeah, so kind of along those lines, what is your message to youth who come from underrepresented groups who are interested in AI or CS? And what advice would you give to people who want to get involved in CS or AI, but aren't sure where to start or are scared to take the first step?
I think the first step for me would be just talking to people in your network who you know are pursuing what you're interested in. And I think that's a good starting point. And I'm saying people in your network and not like a motivational TED talk, because you can ask them more direct questions and they can assess your situation and advise you more personally. This is also called as having a mentor, right? So find mentors and get all your doubts clarified with them. I think that's the best way to just start in a new field. And if you don't personally know such people, then reach out to people outside of your network through platforms like LinkedIn. Again, coming back to, we live in a digital age where we have so many tools accessible, and we should really make full use of that. So, like, for example, if you're a student and they want advice on, like, what courses to take, if you're interested in this field of AI, what should you do? Like, what are the courses you can take? Whether you should pursue research or what is the industry like? Then maybe you can reach out, let's say, to alumni of your institute who are pursuing this field for your field of interest, and just ask them questions and learn from them. In my experience, most of the time when you reach out to people, especially through connection like your alma mater, they will be willing to respond to you. I personally always respond to anyone who reaches out to me through LinkedIn or any other medium. And so I know there are a lot of people out there who will respond to you when you ask them questions, even if they don't know you personally. So don't feel shy of doing that. Make use of it and have all of your questions answered with people who you know are working in your field of interest.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like as soon as people reach out, there are a ton of resources and people who are willing to help them. But it can be hard to take that first step and reach out. And one of the factors that plays into that is the stigma attached to CS, that you have to be a genius in order to pick up the subject and do really well in it. And so what words of encouragement can you give to people who like CS and want to pursue it, but are a little unsure of their own skills, and so they don't do so?
So for success in any field, I believe all you really need is interest and the grit to do it. If CS is what you like, then really that is what you should do. And I don't believe that there can be a universally difficult subject. We just have varied levels of interest in learning different subjects. Moreover, I do not believe that, who is in this field of AI, I don't believe that I'm a genius, quote unquote, of any sort. So in fact, who I do believe to be some of my genius friends are actually in different fields doing other different things. And I'm doing what I'm doing just because I like doing, and so I'm here. So, and I did not even start as a CS major either. I naturally gravitated towards it just because it interested me. And if I can pursue it, then there's no reason why someone else cannot. I don't think you should take it as it's a hard subject, because it really is not. It's just, all you need is just to have interest and passion for this field and just go for it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that advice. I think just hearing someone like you who has been a success in the field say something like that is already motivation for people to get started and take the first steps into AI. So thank you so much for all of your encouragement.
Thank you again so much for
this was fun. This was great. And thank you guys for taking this initiative. This is, I think, a one-of-a-kind thing, and I think you guys are doing great.
Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. And again, like, I just want to emphasize how much your presence matters. Like, I think Nisha touched upon this. You made it through despite all the different obstacles that might exist. And so in that way, you're very inspirational to a lot of people who are questioning their ability to succeed, either because of their background or because of, like, the environment in which they live. So, like, you're really, really helping a lot of people by doing this.
Awesome. Great. I'm very happy to hear that. And you guys are doing great too. So keep it up.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. You guys take care. All right. Stay safe. Yeah. And good luck with the rest of your semester and the rest of your education.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch with you. I'll send
you. Yes, please do.
Our social media and LinkedIn and everything.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of You Belong in AI. This podcast was made possible by UCLA ACM AI Outreach. Again, my name is Arjun Subramanian, and today I hosted this episode along with Maya Raman and Nisha McNeilis. We interviewed Shweta Kushu, who is a machine learning and computer vision engineer at SkySpex, which is a startup based in Ann Arbor. The questions that we asked in this episode were made possible by our wonderful ACM AI Outreach officers. Furthermore, the podcast is edited by Arjun Subramanian. The music you're hearing in this episode was composed by Kevin McLeod and is called Cheery Monday.
Hi, this is Shweta Kushu. Thank you for listening to my interview at You Belong in AI. And tune in for the next episode.
You Belong in AI.